Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
form and structure of knowledge or activities, being able to tell the difference between the two, and how this fits into the overall ideas of philosophy and stuff like that. So this is a very deep, I suppose, could be considered deep, abstract look at things. So philosophy really gets into the structure of knowledge and what we know and how it's related and how you can connect one idea with another. You know, what is the legitimate way, or what's the implication of connection of ideas? This is sort of a step back from philosophy and looking at the interaction with knowledge. So let's talk about the what sort of triggered this, I suppose, is possibly the best thing to say, is that had noted that a lot of the world's flags are the same. In fact, a stunning third of all the world's flags have a very close cousin, in some cases, like Chad and Moldova. Some countries and Indonesia and Morocco, Monaco share exactly the same flag. There is actually no difference. There's Lithuania and Burma have the same flag, except Burma has a white star in the centre of it to make it all different. And so I became very much aware that I was looking at the structure of it. Yes, people's relationship to knowledge is via form. So they actually don't look at the deep structure of it. They look at the behavioural response to it. And behaviour response is like a pointer or metaphor of knowledge. And they deal in various metaphors for the actual knowledge itself. And this is, there's a lot of value in that, because they don't have to actually think deeply about it. They can filter it out. If it's unstructured, and or if you replace the structure with metaphors, the metaphors are very lightweight and you can structure them. So in the case of, say, the Olympics, you can not worry about the structure that, you know, people's national anthems are the same. I think Liechtenstein and the UK have the same national anthem, or certain people have the same flag. And long as you can contrive a situation where that structure doesn't hit you in the face, you're not listening in the face, you won't have a problem with it. And what does it really mean, having a problem with things, that you actually move? You can actually glide from one situation to the next and arrive in time. Sort of this, like this velocity of, there's a cultural velocity. That's where people have an agreed superficiality in processing. And part of that not processing is actually creating a form of the knowledge. So, so often I'm sort of looking at this, obviously, with sort of, if you've got some structural firepower or ability to, this natural ability to structure it, and you don't, you can't actually tune that off. Obviously, one of the things that is extremely evident from the world's flags is that we as a race have been able to tune down our structural our sensitivity to structural factors. We've got an agreed lack of sensitivity. So lack of sensitivity to structural things, lack of sensitivity to maths and stuff like that. So people very much can be just driven to work so much to accumulate money and stuff like that. And of course, the value of something when you are, say, if someone gives you something when you're 20, that's got five times as much as value if someone gives you something when you're
80. And obviously, only in the very, very end bits of life do you actually start to do the calculation. So a lot of behaviour is based on not being too critical, not being too analytical. And this, it's a collective agreed lack of analytic requirement. So this is one of the other sort of other aspects I'm sort of looking at. Why are we teaching people, why are we teaching a science and stuff like that which is incorrect? And there is this agreed lack of requirement for it to be correct. It's in order that it's more important that it's not correct, but we have an agreed value of it. And we've also got to acknowledge it. So the idea is that if we can, it's not so much important. It is actually more valued that we have 80% learning something incorrect and learning that in a reproducible way, which feeds into the system, the requirement, than, say, 30% learning the correct value, the correct thing, and not being able to process it in. So, because there's sort of like these two aspects of gaining knowledge. This is very form knowledge. Form knowledge is transactable knowledge. So in essence, it's essentially like the good food requires preparation, kitchen time, a whole series of things for it to go. But fast food is got all the properties. It increases the GDP, it allows you to do something quickly and get on to other activities. So we've got other things in mind than actually looking into it. So you've got this idea of form. This is where you have a general feeling of, like, there's all these flags out there, and then the structure you go is, oh well, if I add those flags together, I can see these structures, and it forces me in a direction of thought which is it's called, I suppose, an antisocial direction of thought. That if I see a problem and I'm the only person that sees the problem, I'm isolated, and therefore there's a sort of an economics to it all, in terms of you adding some more effort to that person who sees a problem. And where, say, if you're at a dinner party and one person sees that the salmon mousse has been left out for too long, they opens the drinks fridge, and they can see the desserts there, and they have their wine there, and they sip the wine, and the thought would be, if the fridge is hot, the salmon mousse is probably off, therefore there's a risk. And so that person goes through a period of risk that when they first tell it, they're antisocial, their information. And given that, let's be honest, that there's an amount of mental disease, people can make mistakes and stuff like that, so you have to, as part of, you can't actually deploy your knowledge, everything anyone ever says, you can't actually go through and actually work out whether it's structurally right. So there's this collective push towards form. The form of knowledge, it's a dinner party. If you look at the amount of information going into that person, it's a dinner party, people want this to go here, these all these processes, these form things, and the actual superficiality is that it's scooped off as a dessert. Now, someone who's looking deeper structure, it's a dessert with a risk, and it's your risk analysis of it. So you often get that structural thing, and at the end of the day, what tends to happen is, I think it was in the 1970s, this idea of social biology, people are incredibly grateful to that person, but he's warned about it, but he's a bit of an autistic person, and at the end of the day, they thank him greatly, they remember him, but they're isolated. Whereas the person who organised the dinner party, or nearly force people to eat the salmon, which is poison. I'm just trying to get a metaphor here.
That person who then realized the person was right, they're more valued because the entire social mechanism. So, like, it's sort of like there's sort of three areas. There's the actual raw information itself, there's the structured information, and then there's the form translation of that into social action. And that, of course, translation to social action is very good because it's lightweight and light speed, and there's reasons for it to be speedy is because that you've got a whole lot of different players and you need a sort of velocity of thought for social interaction to go ahead. You can't actually stop and slow down. And of course, what this is essentially what a research lab is where cut off all the social aspects of it and you freeze time and you let incubation occur to analyze the structure. And you've got to relink that into that world of form. So you've got the world of form, the world of structure. And you can actually sit, you can naturally sit in different sections. Now, a person, so there's a relative view between any two people who are on this continuum between form and structure. Now look at it. Now, if someone's in the form one, they will give a form view of a structured person. Form view of a structured person is that they're autistic, like all their terms. They don't actually contain any information. They're metaphors for actually thought. They're not the thought itself, not the structure itself. They're metaphors, and it has the advantage of quickly being able to transact metaphors. And transact metaphors is essentially you get paid not for any structural stuff. I suppose you can get paid for wheat or something like that, but for services and a lot of things like this, a whole lot of societies, a whole lot of agreed metaphors. So-and-so is a politician because everyone's done this process. There's no structural point that says that this person has power, but it's sort of an agreed thing. It's happened at a certain velocity, and we have elections which elect people at a particular time, and they try and paint, they overlay metaphors onto the structure, and we vote to go on with that particular election of metaphors. So you've got political parties. You've got the same crisis, the same hole in the ground, the same pollution, stuff like that. But it's the way we actually vote right up in that form area, how we are going to agree in the form. So you need a certain, for forms, you need a certain velocity, you need a certain consensus. So in order for something to be transacted in a sufficient time, so you've got different things, you've got the speed of the economy, the size of the economy, and it's all marketing, all this high lightweight thing. And so the marketing label for someone who's on the analytical end of the spectrum, the structural end of the spectrum, is that they're autistic. It's a label, and you can set, forget, you can arrange these unstructural things. That is, you can be compassionate to understand it, but then secretly underneath it, you can actually starve of all opportunities and stuff like that, because that type of person is a risk. They will put their hand up and say, well, what about this? And you have to contrive to find out about that via a form method. That is, you can see a toxic hole in the ground. People are falling into it. You can see it. But there is a problem that if you see it directly and you can analyze it, you're negligent. However, if you require a qualified person to tell you it is, you're not negligent. And so there's this studied ignorance. Now, the story I want to get on to the top of this is to overlay on this all the concept of brain damage and being slowed down. And so You obviously, if you are sort of in the form, so if you're in the structured area, you've brain damage and you're doing a lot of effort to actually keep up in the form aspect of it, it's something which you have to retreat and say, well, I've got to maintain the basics of working things out, and I have to sort of limit the transactions into that form zone, and just where people in the form zone just chundering out labels and thinking labels, I've just got to sort of go into research lab mode and go down. Now, if you're in form, a lot of the brain damage areas, which is speed and structure and things, have a huge impact, but it has a different type of impact in the so if you've your brain damage and you have been a social flirt and you've had power and you've lied to people and even though there's a lie, you made representation to people, but you can do certain things. And if you can't do that, because your self-value is in that form social interaction thing, it's a massive hit. But there's sort of a different strategy that if you had brain damage and working in on the structured area, it means that it's basically like running a research lab, and if the equipment is faulty and takes a lot of time to go, that's what it takes. It takes a lot of time to do. If the readings are faulty, it means that you have to take more of them. More readings and more structured, and it means that you write up sort of your own internal research papers, and they're just not as good, you know. And some of them don't get peer reviewed and don't go through. There's a whole lot of quality control measures, internal quality control measures on the research. Search side of things, whereas someone who's got more of a foot, more of a leaning into that form factor, they've got to rebuild their social structure, because their social structures are what traditionally have provided feedback to go forward, and they can be staffed, and they can their method of thinking, their method of, you know, I will do this because I will be more valued. So it's a very simple, it's like sometimes the equations can be simple, but they can be unrealistic and can have factors in them. This is your equation for deciding what you're going to do. They can have factors in which are, I've forgotten what the term is. They're non-independent. You've got to have independent equations. If they are basically the same equation with a multiplier behind it, you just divide it out and you've got the same equation. If you don't have sufficient equations, sufficient your matrix between what you do is non. It's a non-unitary matrix. It's a non-functioning matrix. So a lot of people can think that they've got everything covered, but essentially they have the same mode of thought repeated over and over with different flavors on it, and therefore they've actually got no deeper thought. So it's how the cookie crumbles in terms of So if you are on the superficial non-mathematical view. So if I can often say is that I will encounter someone, and they'll be a nice enough person, but I'll bit by bit, little things will go, and I'll, without wanting to think bad thoughts about, they're not bad thoughts, I'd say, look, this person is profoundly non-mathematics. They've got no ability, like even base ability, to look at a graph or look at data and look at any aspects of it. And not that this is you know, not that it's not like anti-Semitism or anything like that. It's not, you know, look, there's some good-looking people, some people with style, there are some people who just can't do maths. And if you get a combination of not being able to do maths and have this sort of superficial label judgment thing, after a period of time, they will say, oh, look, you, because you have made a response to me which doesn't correspond to the way that I want to interact, like I want to say a superficial quality thing and I want you to say something back to me. If you say, well, look, look at the statistics of that, or look how likely that is to be true, you're not satisfying my need for superficiality. You're autistic, and the fact that I have got no idea what the equation is, I really don't understand anything to do with science. That doesn't make me ignorant. It makes you autistic, and so if you can say that they've got a worldview of you being inadequate, you've got a worldview of saying it's similar frustration. We're not going to party here. But the reverse is that your ability to analyse and go through things. Now, what it does mean is that you've got certain parameters which are knocked, you know, like your speed of thought. Some things are good, are going in, but the ability to hold ideas or memorise ideas just means it takes a longer time. It's sort of like you've got a second-rate research laboratory going across, and there's this long, complex enclosed. So a research lab is an enclosed viewpoint, so a long thing to actually realise a thought and realize the actual structure to the outside world, the actual term of it, to keep it, and it keeps on dissolving all the time and dissolving, disappearing, and as you get that thought back again, it sort of recrystallizes, the thought crystallizes over a long period of time. So it's not necessarily, some of the times the adverse setup of something is actually its benefit. So I just as a sort of a little aside, I had the story of the fridge, which is at the incorrect temperature, and you've got the social situation and you've got to alert it, but you don't have the social skills to tap the wine glass and say, I suggest a rhyming game with the word salmonella. Good. Okay, I want everyone to create another sentence, you're all going to die, and people act, and then they go, oh my god, that you can get that thought in there to reach some sort of structure which goes into that economy of superficial thought. It gets into it. So there's that thought there. The thing I really want to say is the long-term crystallization of ideas. So given your sort of, I suppose people on that form aspect are very much birds of the atmosphere. They fly up and they're flown about the place, and they need different sorts of structures. But you can actually, one of the great things perhaps is that a research lab is on the ground. It's not at sea. It doesn't take on water. It doesn't sink. You have to gradually work on it and produce things forward with them. And so essentially you realise that, say you get an ore or some information from the inside, that has to be processed over and over again, and some things get lost, some gets improved. In order to actually check it up, you have to research it over again. And actual quality of the end products changes as it comes in. So it's sort of like, if I can say, fermenting, the information to get in is just so hard, so labored, so go over across. It actually ferments, and there's this term with barley or something like that, where it malts, it goes off and ferments a little bit, and it gets packaged and repackaged and weighed and stuff like that, and all this bloody inefficient thing, which would be absolute disaster in the complete form, quick fight, in terms of sort of like I would put an image to sort of the form logic of discussion, similar to a snow fight. It's, you've got to get out there, you've got to get cold, and there's a bit of a laughing as someone hits you and stuff like that. As opposed, oh, I hope this doesn't destroy my recording too much. As opposed to someone who's out there quietly building an igloo for a snowstorm. It's sort of like this different approach. So, as an example, is this podcast that you're listening to? So it's taken 2,000 podcasts talking at different levels and being able to actually slowly contain and get an idea and talk about it. And there's sort of like the double challenge. There's the double challenge of the thoughts, really having to sit in your research lab, and you just have to fight and push over it. And you know that eventually it won't get there. But in it's sort of like a research lab. It's like the podcast, sort of slowly doing it, slowly getting the engines together. It's sort of and the realization, oh well, it's not transactable. It's not in that form level. It's a structural thing, and this 2% improvement here, this tiny improvement in this aspect, is a cumulative one. Whereas, if you're in the form thing, what you've done last year is forgotten. As soon as you do it, you forget. The reason that you're forgetting is that you're continually wiping out your whiteboard of knowledge and relationships in order to have your whiteboard open for the next person to come across. It's sort of like, you know, it's the, if I could say form, it's sort of like a social media, Twitter, TikTok. Everyone sort of loves the interaction, the buzz of now, because the buzz of now is in fact only a buzz. It's a sound wave which lasts only short distance, and people sort of run off listening to the music and run off in various directions. And of course, they're very important people for a couple of reasons. One is that they have money, and two, they have the ability to kill you with their diseases and other things like that, and to actually not be entrapped in that sort of the theatre of life, where there's audiences, people, stage lights and stuff like that, and to be actually sitting back and writing a review, doing the books, going across. So you've got the podcast as one version of it, and to actually sort of analyse that forward, and to create an image of the social structure that you see outside, back inside the research labs. Oh, I know it sounds stupid, but there is a research lab to cognitive repair aspect of it, and saying that there's no startup economic model for you to survive in the form world, and there's no resources coming in. You have to be self-resourcing. So essentially, if you don't have your own like piece of lab equipment, transformer, you have to build it, and you have to learn how to build it. Sort of like way back in South Australia, where there was really no money, and people actually got lumps of metal and magnetic fields and currents and built their own magnets and built and wound everything. And it took weeks. Whereas in America, that would just go through a catalogue, ask for money and buy it. That was not going to happen in the South Australian or the Australian Research Laboratories. You had to actually get out there. If you wanted to cut something, you essentially had to measure it up yourself, get on a lathe yourself, and cut it out yourself. Because it just wasn't... Although, in theory, the people who weren't going to support you anyway would just point to the United States or some other country where things were happening and say, well, my solution for you, my friend, is that you should be American, or you should be German, or you should be British. But unfortunately, then they would close the door and walk out again, and you'd go, oh, well, and you get your hacksaw out and start to slowly machine away. Now, often what you produced didn't work. However, along the way, you would discover something else to write this thing. So that's very much the Australian style. And there's sort of a military equivalent to exactly all that I've said. So let's summarise again. You've got philosophy, which is sort of like a spotlight on structure. Then, besides philosophy, you've got a second spotlight, which is that form, that metaphor for the actual structure, where you pick things out and you don't have to invest a lot of intelligence understanding it. You just have to get the vibe of what's going on. And in order to actually propel yourself, you have to project opinions sufficiently quickly that you create a pressure of opinion, your own opinion pressure, that you can actually keep other people's opinions out. And it becomes sort of a self-fulfilling, self-sustaining system within the form area where the structure is only referenced to it. And so you often wind up projecting opinions about this group, that group, aspirations groups, and you, as a lightweight form thing, can actually be moved, and you can be propelled to work way until you're 70 or 80 or something like that. Keep on working for wealth for one more thing. Obviously, you're not going to get any benefit. So if you're 80, you're going to be sick in a chair. You may as well, with a whole lot of unfulfilled desires. You know, that's a pretty amazing thing. Now, on the structural, the structural side is the... So the structure is actually something which overlays the actual reality. And there's sort of mathematics and dispassionate stuff and a different relationship between them. And so a research lab is the sort of the home away from home for the structural analysis. And to all of this, you have your inboard capacity. This is to the speed of thinking, accuracy of maths, through their memory, the ability to see structures and stuff like that. And obviously, that type of stuff is just simply not valued in the form one. The form one is they measure your existence by the amount of opinion you can actually project on people and the way you can deflect opinion and stuff like that. But it also has the effect that the research thing means that you, for research objectives, you need a very high speed, you need a very high structure, and it's very rarely that you would come in to a research thing having the correct levels. But say if you had a knock and a structure like that, you come in with very low levels, and the actual philosophy of development is your basic philosophy to improve anyway. So say to understand, say, an equation or understand a reaction, you need maths and computer simulations that are simply beyond you, and you need a full, in the best conditions, 12 months, 10 years to understand something, to really get ahead of it. And of course, the contract is that if you understand it, you convert it into something which is more lightweight, which allows the next person to understand it in a very short and much shortened time, or they can do an experiment. They don't have to go down all the tracks you do. So your contract is with society is that they pay your way a little bit. You do your research, you do all the hard yaks, but you, for the money, you pay back a shortcut. You know, not walking over cliffs and not all having the spare us the details, these details type of stuff. Now, this is okay for the social contract of the research to get done, but it just so happens that this, you can dust this stuff off and say, oh, look, I'm actually a factor of 10 below the actual starting point of my mathematical knowledge or my stuff like that. I have to go again, and it's sort of like it just so happens that the actual real tools, real thinking tools, are rehab rethinking tools, and you just have to keep on pushing ahead on it. So I hope that's some sort of clarity, and this is sort of like full circle in terms of the process of collecting thoughts, remembering the thoughts as you sleep and think and reprocess and communicating. So I'm just slowly doing it. And it's not, and I'm also understanding how to actually convert it into that lightweight form stuff. So this is sort of the combination of between the same set of thoughts played out with flags. Oh, but people will understand the flags. I can communicate that, even though the structure is the same. What's the implication of that? A day. 2 days thought on it. 2 days thought on it in the research lab of thinking on structure to slowly get it out. So, out there in the world, there may be no people who understand it, and that's part of the thing of working in that structure case. That if you're in the form world, you can get up on the dance floor, Lady Gaga, or Bob Dylan. You can say things, and people will lock into you. If you're in a research lab, it's not the same sort of thing. It's sort of just a natural thing. I'm very used to producing thoughts, and they can be crap. They usually are crap. And basically having an audience of between one and none. Okay, thanks a lot for listening. I'll keep on going forward. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.